Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something really practical, long-term care.
Right.
And it's easy to think, you know, that's just for older folks, but really it's broader.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about needing help with, well, everyday things, bathing, getting dressed, maybe making meals, meds.
Yeah, stuff that happens because of chronic illness, disability, maybe cognitive changes. It can affect anyone, really.
Exactly. And based on the materials we've got, we're zeroing in today on a specific thing in Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program.
That's the one.
Our mission, really, is to unpack how this whole thing works. See if it's something you, the listener, should be thinking about for your own future planning and, you know, protecting your assets.
Okay, Wisconsin Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program. Bit of a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
What's the core idea?
Well, at its heart, it's this link up started back in 2009 between private insurance companies and Wisconsin Medicaid. And it's trying to do a couple of things. One, encourage folks to take some personal responsibility for potential long-term care costs through private insurance.
Which might give you more choices than just Medicaid.
Exactly. More access, potentially better quality care options. But the second thing, and this is really the unique bit,
yeah,
it offers a way to shield some of your assets if, down the road, you do end up needing Medicaid to pay for that care.
So why is this important now? Long-term care feels distant for many people.
Well, think about it financially. The government, HHS, estimates something like 70% of people turning 65 now will need some kind of long-term care.
70%. Wow.
Yeah. And it's not always short-term. Women average about 3.7 years, men 2.2 years. And get this, about 1 in 5 will need care for over 5 years.
No, it's not some rare edge case. It's actually pretty likely.
It's a significant likelihood for most of us, yeah.
Okay, so when you say some form of long-term care, what kinds of things are we actually talking about?
It's a pretty wide spectrum. You've got personal care, those basic activities of daily living, ADLs.
Like bathing, dressing.
Right. Eating, moving around, toileting, continence. Then there are the supportive services, IADLs.
Instrumental activities.
What are those? Things like making meals, managing medications, housekeeping, handling money, getting around town, shopping, even using the phone or computer.
Yeah.
Stuff that helps you live independently.
Okay.
Beyond that, there's skilled nursing care. Think nursing services. Therapies like physical, occupational, speech therapy, wound care, medical monitoring.
Right. More medical.
And don't forget social and recreational services. Those are really important for quality of life, you know.
Absolutely. So where does this care happen in Wisconsin? Is it all nursing homes?
Oh, definitely not. It can be right in your own home. Wisconsin has programs like family care and IRIS that support that, often with more self-direction.
Okay, home care. What else?
Community-based stuff. Adult daycare, Meals on Wheels, those aging and disability resource centers, ADRCs.
ADRCs, right.
Mm.
Heard of those.
Then you have assisted living facilities, CBRFs they're called here. And yes, nursing homes too, where Medicaid actually pays for a lot of the care, maybe 60% or so in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And some places, CCRCs, continuing care retirement communities, offer a whole range of care levels in one spot.
And I'm guessing the price tag on all this isn't small.
No, not at all. If you look at, say, the 2021 Genworth survey for Wisconsin, median annual costs, yikes.
Give us the numbers.
Okay. Home health aid, about $64,000 a year. Assisted living, around $55,000. Nursing home, semi-private room, over $100,000.
$100,000.
And a private room, even more, like $113,000 plus. And the kicker, these costs tend to go up faster than regular inflation.
Which really makes planning ahead seem... Well, essentially.
Yeah, it really underscores the need, yeah.
Okay, so need established, costs are scary. Let's get to the program. How does this Wisconsin partnership thing actually work? What's the benefit for, you know, the person buying the policy?
Okay, here's the core incentive. It's called dollar-for-dollar asset protection.
Dollar-for-dollar.
Yep. For every single dollar, your partnership-qualified policy pays out in benefits for your care.
Okay.
An equal amount of your assets gets protected or disregarded if you later have to apply for Medicaid long-term care.
So if the policy pays $100,000, you can keep $100,000 more of your assets and still qualify for Medicaid, assuming you meet other rules.
That's exactly it. It's a way to preserve some of your life savings. It's pretty powerful.
That does sound significant. Are there other pluses for consumers?
Yeah, there are. These partnership policies, they have to meet specific quality standards, federal and state rules.
So some baseline quality assurance.
Right. And they usually require inflation protection, especially if you buy younger. compound inflation, which is crucial given those rising costs we talked about.
Makes sense. Keeps the benefit from becoming, well, less valuable over time.
Exactly. Plus, like other qualified LTC policies, there might be tax advantages. Premiums could be deductible, benefits usually tax-free, though there can be limits.
Check with a tax advisor on that one, I guess.
Always a good idea. And finally, having this private insurance generally gives you more choices, maybe more flexibility in where and how you receive care compared to just Medicaid alone.
Okay. So it interacts with Wisconsin Medicaid, or medical assistance, MA, as they call it here.
Right. MA is the safety net covering healthcare, including long-term care for lower-income folks.
And the partnership aims to, what, reduce the load on Medicaid?
That's part of the idea. Encourage private funding first. Yeah. And Wisconsin really emphasizes home and community care through family care and IRS.
But Medicaid still covers nursing homes, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, when needed. But the key thing to remember with the partnership is while it protects assets, you still have to meet all the other Medicaid rules, residency, citizenship, applying for other benefits you might be due.
And income limits.
Yes, there are income limits. Though sometimes things like Miller Trusts, qualified income trusts, can help if your income is over the limit, but you still need the care.
Complicated stuff.
Can be. And then there's the standard asset limit for Medicaid, which is quite low. It's set to be $2,000 for an individual in 2025.
Just $2,000.
Yep. So that partnership protection lets you keep assets above that $2,000 up to the amount your policy paid out.
Okay, let's make that asset protection crystal clear. Walk me through a simple example.
Sure. Let's say you buy a partnership policy. Over the years, you need care, and it pays out, say, $150,000 in total benefits.
Okay, $150,000 paid out.
Now, maybe you've used up the policy benefits, but you still need care, and you need to apply for Medicaid.
Right.
When Medicaid looks at your assets, they'll disregard that $150,000. So you can have the standard $2,000 limit plus that $150,000 in protected assets and still qualify.
So $152,000 in total assets in that case.
Exactly. And here's another really big piece. Those protected assets, they're also safe from Medicaid estate recovery later on.
Estate recovery. That's when the state tries to get back what it spent on your care from your state after you pass away.
That's right. And this protection is a major benefit for people wanting to leave something behind.
Okay, that's huge. Before we get deeper into estate recovery, what about consumer protections within these partnership policies themselves? Anything specific?
Oh, yes. Several important ones. We mentioned inflation protection being mandatory for younger buyers. Under 61, it has to include at least 3% compound inflation.
That seems vital with costs rising like they do.
Absolutely. Between 61 and 75, some inflation protection is required. Over 75, it has to be offered, though you can decline it.
Okay. What else?
Disclosure requirements are pretty strict. They have to clearly tell you it's a partnership policy, explain the asset protection, the inflation feature, even their history of premium hikes on similar policies.
Transparency, good.
And agents have suitability standards. They need to make sure the policy actually fits your needs and finances.
So they can't just sell it to anyone.
Shouldn't. No. There's also some policy standardization to help with comparisons. And you get a free look, period.
Free look.
Yeah. Usually 30 days. You get the policy. You can read it all over. And if you change your mind, send it back for a full refund. No questions asked.
That's a decent safety net. Now, the elephant in the room often with LTC insurance is premium stability or instability.
Right. Huge concern and valid.
What does the partnership program do about that? Are these premiums locked in?
Well, they aren't guaranteed. Let's be clear about that. No long-term care insurance premiums really are. But the partnership program does build in some measures based on national standards from the NAIC.
National Association of Insurance Commissioners.
Right. Things like requiring insurers to get actuarial certification that the initial premiums are reasonable. They have to meet certain loss ratios, too.
Meaning a good chunk of the premiums should actually go to paying claims, not just overhead or profit.
That's the idea. And remember the disclosure. They have to tell you about their past rate increase history.
So you have some idea going in.
You have some information. Yeah. And if there is a big premium increase down the line, you usually have options. Well, you could accept it. Or you could choose to reduce your benefits, maybe the daily amount or the total benefit pool, to keep the premium closer to what you were paying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are contingent benefits upon lapse if the increase is really substantial, or non-forfeiture options that might give you a reduced paid-up benefit.
So some ways to adjust, but increases are still possible.
Increases are still possible, yes. But there are guardrails, and that 30-day free look is your initial out if you're just not comfortable.
Okay. So let's fast forward. Someone in Wisconsin has a partnership policy. They've used benefits. Now they need Medicaid. How does that application work, specifically getting that asset protection recognized?
Good question. To apply for Medicaid, you can go through your county or tribal agency, use the State Access website, call them.
Or the ADRCs we mentioned.
Yes, and for partnership policyholders, I'd really recommend starting with the Aging and Disability Resource Center, the ADRC.
Why them specifically?
They typically get specific training on the partnership program. They understand the nuances of the asset protection.
Makes sense. What paperwork is needed for the partnership part?
This is crucial. You need the specific form. The Wisconsin Partnership Program Verification Form. It's F01566.
F01566.
Got it. You'll also need a letter from your insurance company confirming the policy is partnership qualified.
Okay.
And critically, a statement showing all the benefits the policy has paid out up to that point.
So keeping good records of benefit payments is essential.
Absolutely vital. You need that total payout number to establish how much of your assets should be disregarded.
Right. Now, back to estate recovery. You said the protected assets are safe from that, too. How does that work with Wisconsin's rules?
Wisconsin's definition of estate for recovery purposes is pretty broad. It's not just probate assets. It can include jointly held property, survivorship marital property, even assets in certain trusts.
So they can look beyond just what's in the will.
They can. But here's the power of the partnership. The assets that were protected, disregarded from Medicaid eligibility because of your partnership policy,
yeah,
are also protected from estate recovery up to that same dollar amount of benefits paid.
So same example. Mm-hmm. Policy paid $150K. You kept $150K extra assets while on Medicaid.
Then that $150,000 is also shielded from the state trying to recover it from your estate after you're gone.
That's a really direct link. Are there other ways assets avoid estate recovery?
There are some limited statutory exceptions, like if there's a surviving spouse or a minor or disabled child living in the home, sometimes a caretaker child or sibling under specific conditions, but those are narrower. The partnership protection is distinct and tied directly to the policy benefits paid.
It really highlights that unique feature of the program. Can we maybe touch on those case studies briefly just to see how this plays out?
Sure. Think about Margaret, the early planner, bought her policy in her late 50s. Needed care years later.
Okay.
Her policy paid out quite a bit. When she eventually needed Medicaid, that partnership protection meant she could keep her home and a good chunk of her savings, assets that would otherwise have had to be spent down.
Protected her nest egg.
Exactly. Or Michael and Susan, the pre-retirement couple. They had built up significant assets, wanted to leave something for their kids.
Right.
They opted for a shared benefit partnership policy. It gave them peace of mind about care costs, but also, importantly, that dollar-for-dollar protection helped ensure more of their assets were shielded for inheritance.
So it aligned with their legacy goals, too.
Precisely.
Okay. We have to circle back to the premium increases concern one more time, because it's such a big deal for people.
Understood. And it's real. The industry historically did face issues.
What kinds of issues led to those past increases?
Several things, really. Original policies were sometimes priced too low, based on assumptions that didn't pan out. People kept their policies longer than expected, didn't lapse them.
Which means more potential claims.
Right. And people needed care for longer durations. Investment returns for insurers weren't as high as projected. Healthcare costs went up. People lived longer.
Yeah.
Kind of a perfect storm. But again, that's why those partnership stability provisions we talked about, the actuarial reviews, loss ratios, disclosures were put in place to try and make current policies more sustainable.
And the options if you do face an increase, remind us.
Accept it. Reduce benefits to try and keep the premium level or potentially trigger those contingent lapse or non-forfeiture benefits. You have choices, though they might involve trade-offs.
Okay. So wrapping this all up, what's the bottom line on the Wisconsin Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program for our listener? What's the core takeaway?
The fundamental value proposition, I think, is this. It's a specific tool available in Wisconsin that helps you plan for potentially very high long-term care costs,
mm-hmm,
while also giving you a unique way to protect a portion of your assets if you end up needing Medicaid assistance later. That dollar-for-dollar asset protection, linked with estate recovery protection, is the key feature.
But it's not automatic, right? Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone.
Oh, absolutely not. It's a complex decision. Whether a partnership policy makes sense for you really depends on your individual financial picture, your health, your age, what your goals are for long-term care. It needs careful thought.
So if someone listening thinks, okay, maybe this is relevant for me, what's the recommended next step?
I'd strongly suggest talking to a qualified insurance professional. But not just any agent. Find someone who really specializes in these Wisconsin partnership policies.
Someone with specific training or certification.
Ideally, yes. Ask about their experience with the partnership program. They can help you weigh the pros and cons for your specific situation.
And other resources.
Definitely check out the Wisconsin office of the Commissioner of Insurance, the OCI, and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, DHS. They have official information on the program.
Great resources. Okay, any final thought for people to chew on?
Well, planning for long-term care, it's really about protecting two things. Your future self, your well-being, and also the financial security you've built.
A balance.
Exactly. And this Wisconsin partnership program, it's one specific way Wisconsin offers to help strike that balance. So maybe the question to leave you with is, as you think about your own future, what are your biggest worries or uncertainties when it comes to planning for potential long-term care needs? That's something worth exploring.